Oh man, I thought you were going to come this way. I was going to give you a hug. Man. Thanks, brother. I thought you were running away on me there. Oh, that was beautiful. Thanks, Bob, if you hear this. Thank you for that. How many was at the Sadie? Is Sadie here? Who was at the celebration of Sadie's 100? Quite a number of you. A big, oh man, it was amazing. Just an incredible, is this wrong? Oh, this out here? Oh, that's right, I forgot to tie that on. Anyway, we'll be fine. Anyway, Sadie, such a blessing to our community. It's such an amazing thing to have somebody 106 years old still living by herself, and she is still sharp. It's incredible. She is such a testimony of good health. And can I get this right? And I just, oh man, come here up here, Vern. Give me a hand here. This is not going to work. Just give me a little slack and hook it right to the bottom of the cup. We need two of you, three of you to get this done right. How many pastors would it take to put on a mic? Only problem is you didn't give me enough slack. Okay, there, I'm okay. And it's good to see, I don't know if you know, Lance and Peggy Liebelt, thank you for being here. They came up for the celebration from the Voice of Prophecy. You all know who Voice of Prophecy, and you've been part of that from 1979. Can you guys stand up just for a moment? And I know you do this all the time, but thank you for being here. Came especially for the celebration, and thank you for being here. And Sadie's been a big supporter of that ministry, and I know that many of you have been supporting Voice of Prophecy and continue to do that. But thank you for being here. Blessings on you guys. It is a really good Sabbath. Whenever there's a baptism and a child dedication, it's a good Sabbath, right? A lot to praise the Lord for. And I get to go to Greece. Did you know I'm going too? Did you catch that? Taking my daughter. I had no idea when everything was coming down to move that that was going to happen, but I'm going to go over there and I'm going to enjoy Greece too. I've always wanted to be there. So thanks for your prayers as we're gone. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 5. And it's one of the, we're going to go to one of the strangest, most amazing stories in the life of Jesus. It's a story of a naked, crazy, insane, demon-possessed man that lives in a cemetery in tombs. But one encounter with Jesus, and his life is going to be changed forever. Let's pray together. Father, as we open the Word of God, this is your Word. You inspired this Word by your Spirit, and we pray for the Holy Spirit to inspire us now. Word of God, speak to our hearts. May we listen and hear. Wherever we are, whether we've been a Christian for a long time or never given our life to Jesus, may we be listening to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Mark chapter, is it up? There it is. We're going to go to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verse 1. I see it back here. There we go. Hey, there we go. Hey, everything's working good today. And that projector got hit. Okay. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out to the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Is this an amazing story? Jesus and the disciples have just come across the Sea of Galilee. And Christ has just calmed the raging storm, and it's peaceful and it's calm. But as they come to shore, they step out of the boat, and here is this crazy lunatic, this crazy demon-possessed man that comes screaming, yelling to the top of his lungs, running towards him as fast as he can, and falls at the feet of Jesus. There's really, Harley, you can't find a more incredible story than this story. Now, what do you think the disciples are doing about now? I think they're heading back to the boat. Get in the boat. Let's get out of here. It's amazing. A naked man, crazy, demon-possessed, comes and falls before Jesus. But you want to talk about a person that's beyond hope. There it is. Talk about a hopeless, desperate situation. You write those kind of people off. There's no hope for them. They're written off. I mean, think about this guy. The description is given. He is demon-possessed. Later we're going to find out he is filled with 6,000 demons. He is living in a graveyard, in a tomb. In other words, he is comfortable and at home living with the dead. He is in an uncontrollable condition. He has superhuman strength that he can actually break chains and shackles. And he's cutting himself. He's self-destroying himself. Think about how desperate, how hopeless this man is. If you saw somebody like that, if you ran into somebody like that, what would you do? You'd write him off. You'd say, lock him up. Put him in a sane asylum. He's not worth any. There's no value left in this man anymore. Get rid of him. That's what you'd probably say. You'd definitely not have this kind of guy over to your house for lunch after church. Would you? You say, kid, stay away from that guy. But I'm here to tell you, no matter how far you run from God, no matter how evil your life may become, how deep your sin, how deep you go into sin, no matter how desperate and hopeless a person is, you can never run. You can never run far enough away from God that God cannot reach you. Aren't you glad we serve a God of grace and mercy? Folks, if you don't get it in this story, you're not getting it. If you don't understand how God looks at people, you're not getting the Word of God. You are not seeing the God that we serve. You're not seeing Jesus. If you think you're better than the person down there that lives under the bridge, you don't understand our God. If you think you're better because you live in this big house and drive a nice car and have a nice job and have nice kids and go to a good school, you don't understand the heart of God. We are fooling ourselves to think we're like Jesus when we don't have a clue about the real heart of Christ. That Christ would come down and actually go and love a person like this that is so far gone that society has written them off. But I want you to notice something about the verse. Do you see something in the verse? What's he doing? The demoniac is what? He's crying out. He's crying out in his evil, possessed, terrible condition. And it says he's crying out day and night. He's crying out. He's controlled by demons. I imagine he hates his life. He hates everything, but he has no control anymore over his life. But I'm telling you, God looks down and he can hear the whisper, the cry, the hurt of hearts. And it doesn't matter what people look on the outside, what's going on. I'm going to tell you something, because I believe in every heart, God has put a place for him. And people will never be satisfied until they find it in their hearts. This man is crying out day and night. We don't know how long. Maybe years goes by. Maybe decades. We don't know how long he's out there. But there's a deep heart cry from his heart. God always hears that desperate cry. I love David understood that. He said, in my distress, I call upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and he heard my voice. Have you ever been there? Rock bottom? Have you ever been there? so out there, so lost, and you're crying out, nothing's changing, but is God listening? He's crying out, I'm glad I serve a God that always hears the cry of his children. Okay, I won't go to that one anymore. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him, or other versions, he fell down before him. And he cried out with a loud voice. What kind of voice? Loud voice. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Wow. Can you hear that loud, deep guttural, those voices coming out of this man? I mean, here's Jesus, he's the Son of God. In the midst of the storm, he was sleeping in the back of the boat in perfect peace. Now he stands before this crazy man. I'm telling anybody else that would meet this guy, they would run for their lives in fear, wouldn't they? But Jesus just stands there. And this man, all he can do is come yelling and screaming and fall at his feet. And this version says he worshiped him. See, as I thought about this, I said, well, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, he's faced demons many times before. And if you go to Revelation chapter 12, you find out that Lucifer and Michael had a fight before. There was actually a battle. Christ fought the devil and his angels before. There was a battle before. You remember that battle, and praise God that Lucifer was cast out. But here is Jesus. He is ready to go to battle again for the child of God. He's not going to run away. He's going to fight the enemy again. He's going to go to battle again for this helpless man that has no hope. Because I love this. How much value does Jesus place on a life? Think about the value that Christ would take a trip across a raging storm, across the lake. Do you think he knew this demon-possessed man was there? He takes a trip across there, gets there, knowing, and he goes there for one purpose, and it's to save a lost man that has no hope, that society has written off. How far are you willing to go for somebody around the corner who doesn't know Jesus? How far are you willing to go to sacrifice, to give to that person that is lost, that doesn't know the peace, the joy, the grace of Jesus Christ? That wretch of a man was precious to God. And Jesus is going to fight for him. He's going to go head to head. He's going to go head to head with 6,000 demons. And guess what? Satan's going to lose. Okay, I'm in the habit. And he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answers, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. A legion is how many? 6,000. 6,000. This man is filled with 6,000 demons. He is a prison house. He's a dwelling place for 6,000 demons. Now you could say, what in the world is that talking about? You know, I mean, I don't fully understand the world, this supernatural world, this demonic world. I know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I know we don't wrestle. We have principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. I know that we are in intense battle today, but 6,000 demons in one man, I have a hard time understanding that. Was it 6,000 wrong choices that opened up his light to 6,000 of these demonic forces or evil spirits in his life? I don't know exactly. All I know, that wasn't the purpose and the plan of God for his life. See, when he was created, God had a purpose and a plan. Had this beautiful, amazing plan that this young man that would grow up and glorify his God. That was God's plan. And I'm sure that little boy, I can imagine when he was born, when that man was a child, he was a beautiful little boy. right? Came out, he was innocent, beautiful, wonderful, grew up. But guess what? As he began to grow, he began to make some bad choices in his life. He began to open up avenues in your life. See, many of us underestimate how Satan works. We think we can play with sin. We can think we can play with things in our life, and we can control all that. And guess what? You can't. The devil will use avenues, anything he can, to get to your mind, to your heart, and destroy your life. And so one little choice that we think is innocent, it's just a little compromise, leads to another one, to another one, to another one, and it will destroy you and destroy any semblance of God and his glory in your life. So the result of all these bad choices is evil. It's lost. It's broken. It's hopeless. How big are our choices? I tell you, when I look at our kids today and the world that they are growing up in, does that make you just shudder? I mean, I thought we had it bad. We had a little rock and roll and stuff when I was growing up. But think about how kids are getting inundated with everything, all the media world. And I'm telling you, as parents, if you love your kids, and I know I love my kids, be careful. Just be careful, because I'm telling you, the devil does have an agenda for your kid's mind. And the mind is where he'll go. He'll go for the mind. He'll use things. He'll use these video games that are so fun. And then they'll move to violence and all this kind of stuff. And we know what happens, because what we behold is how we're changed. And so put checks and balances. Be careful. Every night I pray over my kids. I pray for protection for my kids, because I'm afraid for my kids, because I know how powerful the enemy is, but I also know how powerful my God is, and I can pray protection over my kids. And I, as a minister of the gospel and a parent that loves God, I want my kids to follow Jesus. Well, you know the story. Jesus cast out the demons into the herd of pigs. And the story tells us the pigs are filled with these demons, 2,000 of them, and they run down possessed. Violently, it says, they run down the steep bank right into the lake, and they are drowned. And the pig herder sees the whole thing, and he's all freaked out, and he runs back to town. And he's a missionary, and he tells everybody in town what has just happened. And all the townspeople come back. All the townspeople come there looking, what in the world is going on? And they arrive there, and this is what they find in verse 15. Oh, sorry. Man. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Now, is that an amazing statement? The crazy man that was out of control, they couldn't tame, they couldn't even put shackles on him, they couldn't control him at all. He's sitting in their right mind before Jesus, now he's clothed, and they're afraid. Who are they afraid of? They're afraid of Jesus, man. Don't you see, they're afraid of Christ. What is this Christ going to do? That he just took away their pigs. He just took away their livelihood, money. It represents money and their stuff. And notice what is interesting. They are more concerned about their lost pigs than a lost man. They are more concerned they might lose what they have, what they treasure, what they want, more than they care about this man that has absolutely no hope, that has found Christ. I mean, instead of reveling in the miracle and enjoying Jesus, they wanted to send him away. Wow. Have you ever sent away Jesus? Incredible story, isn't it? Those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Folks, I look at that verse. I want to go back one verse, but isn't that one of the best verses in the entire Word of God? Isn't it incredible? Isn't that cool? Is that a cool verse? That this demon-possessed man would be sitting there, what? Clothed and in his right mind. A desperate, hopeless, lost man. One encounter with Jesus, and he is completely changed. And what I love is Jesus takes this man, naked, dirty, and he cleans him up. I see Jesus and the disciples, they take him to the side of the shore of the lake, and they clean him up. I don't know where they got the clothes. Maybe Jesus took off his cloak and put it on him, covers him. And when the townspeople show up, he's at the feet of Jesus, spending time with Christ in his right mind. See, I remember the day that I encountered Jesus. I can remember the day when I was out there, when I was possessed with the world, the love of the world. And I can remember what happened when I finally knelt down and gave my life to Jesus Christ. The peace, the joy, man. Can you remember? If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's powerful. What a God we serve. His people show up. And they want to get rid of Jesus. It's crazy. Notice the townspeople. Then they began to plead with him to depart from the region. That's incredible to me. That these people would plead and beg for Christ to leave. So here's a local town folk. They're pleading for Jesus to leave. And here's a demoniac pleading to be with Jesus. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell the great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had compassion on you." The town people want him out of their lives. The demoniac that's been healed can't imagine life without him. There's so much in this story. But let me ask you, does he still possess people today? Are people still strung out on drugs, lost their mind, their stuff, their relationships, everything? They are demon-possessed. Are people still addicted to pornography and sex and every kind of other thing out there in our world today? Are they? And by the way, if you are addicted to pornography, you are demon-possessed. You have opened up a door that you cannot get out of without Jesus. There's gambling, there's every kind of thing, video games, you name it. But there's also there's the angry, the unforgiving heart. There's the bitter heart. There's all those. That is a form of demon possession. There's the lazy one. Anybody lazy? No, don't worry. But there's pride, there's greed, there's all of it. It can be even in the church. This man, 6,000 demons, 6,000 roads he opened to his life to bring in 6,000 bad choices. What's this real? Satan is getting more sophisticated. He has more avenues to your kids' hearts and minds and to us. He's working overtime. But let me tell you something. There is freedom in Christ. If Jesus is reigning, now let me tell you something. You're either for God or against him. That's what the Bible says. We like the middle ground, but guess what? If you're middle, that means you're on the enemy's side. Did you know that? It's Christ or not. It's the other side. It's Christ. It's all of Christ or none of Christ. There is no middle ground. If you miss anything from the book of Revelation, it is that there is a mighty battle, and you're going to stand one side or the other. See, the demons will fill the void. If Christ doesn't fill your heart, the demons will. See, I'm just so thankful our God's a mighty God is still in the business of setting people free. Still in the business of setting people like me and you free by his strength and by his power in our lives. And he departed and began to proclaim to Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him and marveled. Oh, so you love that. Go home. Go home to your friends. Go home to your family. Go tell. Can you imagine as he's seeing Jesus go in the boat and leave? Can you imagine he obeys the commission? He obeys the command of Jesus. He's got a purpose. He's got something to live for now. And he goes, and I can imagine with joy, tears streaming down his cheeks, this changed heart, the love of Jesus in his heart. He goes back, straight back home, and there's his mom and dad. And can you imagine reunion back home? And there's hugging, there's kissing, and there's forgiveness, and sorry I put you through all this and all that. It's a new day in that home. And then he's out telling his friends, and by the way, this guy can't keep quiet, he can't shut up. I love it. Because he goes to the 10 cities of Decapolis, there's 10, that's what it represents. He goes to the 10 towns and everybody. And what's amazing when you read this story, and this is what's incredible. Now think about it. He never heard one sermon from Jesus. He didn't have one Bible study, never went to church. All he knew that Christ had changed his life. And guess what? That was enough to change his life, to change his world. There is nothing like a testimony, folks. There is nothing like a powerful testimony. It's real. It's dynamic. It opens people. When you tell the great things God has done in your life, man, it transforms. It makes a difference. I mean, I just noticed that. And somebody say, well, I don't have a huge, dramatic conversion testimony. You have a testimony. If God has been good, go tell the good things that God has done for you. Has God been good to you? Do you have a testimony to tell? Have you listened to Jesus then to go tell somebody? To go to your friends and your family that people don't know. Have you told them how good God is? That God can change their life. That he can take their situation and make it over again. I'm going to tell you, every home next to you in your neighborhood, they got struggles. There's marriage problems. Kids are out on drugs. There's every kind of problem. We need to be there as the light of the world for these people. We have a testimony. I love it. When it's in another gospel account, this story, it tells the town folks, these people tell him to go. But it says when Jesus leaves, that he comes back later. And when he comes back, everybody is waiting for him when he comes. Everybody. The whole town, 10 towns, everybody comes. Jesus is coming. The man that transformed this guy's life, he's coming. And everybody shows up. Can you see him as he comes in the boat? And everybody's there. The news is out. Christ is there. See, you can't unleash a demon-possessed man that's now filled with the Spirit. You can't unleash him without the world being transformed and changed. It's going to be changed. Well, today we're going to testify for God. George, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And if you need to leave, go ahead. But we're going to just spend a little time testifying how God good is, how good he is. How powerful. My brother, when you showed up, it was a few weeks ago, and I saw you, I couldn't believe it. I got to give you a hug again, brother. And we love you. I want to, this can't be long, brother, because I have three. But
I have something here that I wrote, but of course, it's supposed to be ad lib, so.
Tell us what happened. Yeah. I know you were deported 3 years ago or so. What happened?
First of all, I just would like to thank God. Because of his grace, I'm here in front of you this morning.
Amen.
And I believe that all of us are gathered here today because of the same grace that brings salvation to all men. Amen. 3 years ago, I was taken out from our house, and some five ICE police came and said, you know, why we're here. And it took me after 20 years. Doesn't matter whether I pay my taxes every year or whether I'm not getting any food stamps or employment from the government. Doesn't matter whether I live and miss the English Oak Church brethren or my loved ones. Doesn't matter. It's just that I have to correct something that was not corrected some 20 years ago. And I was brought there in chains. And I was thinking, like, this is probably an awesome experience to say the positive things about it, but normally it's not, because you're separated from family. So I was brought there in chains, and over there, we're given an orange uniform. It's like, I was kidding, it's like, you know, there's no freedom in jail, but there's like free meals and free uniforms every other day. And the good thing about there is that I just feel like it's not really something that I'm paying for. Because what happened is like there were three, inside the jail, there were three groups over there of people that are like, you know, the Hispanics,
just hold that up a
the
little.
Asians, and all other people that from other countries, and all the, you know, the white people there. So there were three, and they have leaders. So we say some gang leaders, and that place is like a melting pot. It's like some people that just came from 15 years of imprisonment, and they're getting ready to release, and some of them are just there because they're going to be sentenced. And so it's like there, and then the awesome thing is those people, because in a bunk bed in between his 2 feet, they have Bibles with them. And I said, this is an opportunity, because these guys are reading, and they feel like they are hopeless. They're drug addicts, and they are drug pushers. And I asked my daughter to send me a Bible, because you cannot bring a Bible there by hand or given. It's supposed to be through the mail. And so we started reading. And I was so impressed. Because it didn't come from me, it came from them. It said, you know what? You were here for a purpose. We don't know, we don't have hope. We don't know about these things. And we read about that Mark chapter 5. You know, the disciples were in the boat. they were struggling by themselves. And Jesus was there just sleeping and quiet because they are not trying to get involved in him. I think that's the problem. The good thing is, like, whenever we have tribulation in life, Jesus is just right there for us to call him. And I have to read this. I believe that for those who trust and believe in him, God allows challenging circumstances to happen for his own purpose, in order that his glory might be revealed in our lives. I would like to express my thanks and gratitude together with my wife, Naomi. We shared the same experience. As she was struggling here, I was struggling there on my own. And like, you know, there, we felt the love from this church. Your arms of love. And I think this church is a disciple. It says, you know, John chapter 13, verse 35 says, you know, for this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I thank you.
George, I just want to, you were deported for 3 years.
Yes.
It should have been at least 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, there was a sanction of like about 10 years.
So he's here.
Yeah. And
so God has worked for you guys.
God has worked through all those papers and tedious things. And the relatives I have here are here right now. The sisters of Naomi are here. And if you can just, you know, they are supports. And I just would like to, I have some verses that really sustained us through this. And I think this is what I call this, like, you know, spiritual energy and faith boosters. Can we just show that, please? God can orchestrate things. All things work together, whether good or bad, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Next slide, please.
Also, I'd like to ask you, you lost a house, too, during this time. You lost a lot, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But these verses, you're saying, as you lost everything, your boys were over here, your wife was over here.
Yeah, because he mentioned, it's like, you know, we lost the house, and I was not here when our house was burglarized, too. Naomi was alone here, and... you know, she has to deal with all these things in the fear, and the boys are out in college, and she was alone in the house. Wow. And so there was always like, he said, I don't forget to pray before I sleep, so that those doors will be like protected by angels.
Anyway.
And casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I mean, you know, he who did not spare his own son, but gave up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I mean, this is all things. It's just a question of our faith, how much we want to claim.
Three more. Okay.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, peril, sword? And this is like Paul is saying this in experience. I persuaded that there neither death nor life, angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height, depth, nor any created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we are with Christ, I mean, we have everything. I mean, we can go through all this. I was thinking, like, you know, Paul and Silas were in the jail. If God takes care of them, why are they in jail? Why are they being beaten up? There's a purpose. The jailer was saved.
Yes, there's a purpose.
There's a purpose. Be still and know that I am God.
Hey, Vern, you got to let that guy preach. You got to let him preach.
I'm extending a formal invitation to you from Scott and I. You will be preaching.
Amen. Brad Cohen. Brad, I got to make a little plug. This is Brad. Everybody say hi to Brad. This is new. First day here. I've never been here before. I met Brad down at the Salvation Army this last Monday. And for you, we got about a team of 25, 30. I'm making a plug for service here because it is a blessing when you go and give yourself. Okay? It's rarely that we really feel like doing anything outside of our own selves. We do it in faith, believe God's going to bless. But Brad, I met Brad, I got to know Brad, and I was just so impressed and moved by your testimony and your story. And so, I did that wrong. But Brad, tell us just quickly, this can't be long, but tell us a little bit where you came from. You were raised in a Christian home.
Yeah, I was raised in a Christian church, went to church every week. I used to be one of those kids who was sitting up here at the altar earlier. You know, listen to Bible stories every day, had a good family.
You had a heart for God?
Yeah. When I was 18, I went into a ministry called Christ is the Answer Crusades. They're out of El Paso, Texas, Reverend Bill Lowry. I was with them for 2 years.
But something went wrong. This is in your 20s or early, late teens, something like that, and some things started to happen.
I was about 20, and I guess it was, I just wasn't convinced that that Jesus was the way. You know, I've been told it all my life. I believed it because of that, but I really didn't know it.
Yeah. So that puts you begin to question the whole thing.
Yeah, I begin to question things, and one of the things I was questioning was how can I go out and tell people that what they believe is wrong if they're not following Christ when I don't know anything about what they believe?
So you begin to study other religions and stuff like
trying
to understand.
I began to study other religions, other beliefs, from Mormonism to Buddhism, to the occult, to Satanism, to Wicca, witchcraft, you know, all kinds of different things.
But that whole door kind of opened up, and then there was drugs. Tell us that it was 20 years, right? Tell us about that life.
After I left the ministry, within about 3 months, I was on my way to prison for the first time. I've been to prison a total of 4 times. Got a bunch of tattoos to prove it. where are we at?
Well, you got into drugs. You were saying
along with the prison and everything comes, you know, a life of drugs and drug addiction. I got into cocaine and methamphetamine abuse. I was addicted to methamphetamine, doing it daily for 15 years.
Couldn't live without it.
Couldn't live without it. To support my habit, I stole from people. I burglarized homes. I burglarized cars. You know, if the only way I would meet one of you people is if I wanted something from you, and I would get it. After living that life for so many years, doing those things, you know, God was always in my heart because I was dedicated to God when I was a child, like that child earlier today. And hold on, I get emotional when I talk about God.
It's okay, brother.
But, all right. You know, he was always in my heart. So when I was doing these things, I always felt that it was wrong. You know, and I always knew that there was something else for me. And I went into a treatment program 2 years ago. And while I was in that program, when I first got in, I started having these really strange dreams, you know, demons that were torturing me in my sleep. And one night I got up, got on my knees, and I said, God, just take this from me. Jesus, I'm sorry for what I did. You know, come back into my life. You know, be my God again. And in the 2 years since, he's answered that prayer. And I can stand here and I can give my testimony. And it's my story. It's my gift from God, you know, to glorify God.
Amen. Brad, we're so glad you're on the path, man.
I'd like to share a scripture real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Here, let me hold that for you.
Because this really sums up, you know, my new life now. It's from Ephesians 4, 17 through 31. It says, With the Lord's authority I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for they are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger consume you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives foothold to the devil. If you were a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you.
Hey, I have to say this. Those verses mean a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Since you read them.
Yeah.
And I know there's this one thing. You had to go back home. You went to your dad, and I know you didn't have a relationship with dad for years and years. You thought he was all wet and all messed up and so on. You got a relationship again, right?
Yeah.
And that's good news.
Yeah. When I got a hold of him after like 3 years of not talking to him, I called him up and, you know, I just needed to tell him. I said, I realize that you love me, and I'm sorry for what I did. And he goes, son, I'll always love you. I'm your father.
Thanks for coming, Brad. Give a hug. Another brother in Christ. We're going to be in heaven together. What about you guys? Going to be there with us? Nicole, I save your testimony because I've got to know you. And I was just shocked by this woman and what she's been through in her short years. She thinks it's long, but it's short. But tell us a little bit. You were raised in the church. Tell us a little bit about your upbringing.
Oh, yes, very much. I was born and bred in the church. I went to Christian schools. I'm from Reno. I'm a Nevada chick through and through. I ride my horses. I'm a horse chick, so if you have horses, I'm the chick for you. I was raised in the church. I was went to Reno Junior Academy. I'm one of the last 10-year students that went to Reno Junior Academy, so a very firm foundation. After that, I went to Rio Lindo Academy. I graduated in 1995, so now I'm dated. So my point of that is that I had a really good, strong Christian education about me, and that is one of the things that carried me through to the other side, because I had that. Like he mentioned before, you know where you're supposed to be. And so with that foundation, I was able to carry through the rest of my life. I spent 4 years in Australia. I lived there for 4 years. Then I came back.
I thought there's more to that story.
Yeah, there is.
We're not going there.
But I'm trying to make this quick, remember?
Okay.
So it was after I came back from Australia, I met a guy. It was a ride on the Harley Davidson that got me. What can I say? And little did I know, really, his background. I was, at that point, I was 24, very young, very naive, very trusting. And it was one very fateful New Year's night that I got introduced to meth and alcohol all at the same time. I didn't even know it existed. I mean, truly, as Adventists, we don't know that other side. And so we have all these kids and we protect them so much, but then we're not educated to know how to deal with it, because it's out there. It's out there way more than you know, way more than you know. Way more people are on it than you know. So that started that. We had a really good relationship before that happened. And then 3 years of the worst 3 years of my life, losing everything. We built our dream barn together, lost all of that, lost the house, lost everything. One day at a time, just lost it all. And finally, that all ended. That ended in a blaze of glory, how I said it. And life moved on after that. So, jumping ahead a whole bunch, I stand before you 6 years clean and sober. That it is. Thank you. And it's been a journey. Like, those 6 years have been a journey, because I didn't, the day I stopped drugs was not the day that I came back to God. It was not. I spent 6 years of knowing where I should be, knowing what I should be doing, sticking my foot in the water and pulling it back out again. But having family behind me, having a church that I knew was still there. I mean, I would show up at church every once in a while in my home church in Reno, and they didn't have no clue what was going on with me, but I was welcomed every single time, loved every single time. So now I stand before you a new person.
In Christ. In the right mind.
In the right mind. Yes, in the right mind.
And she's proclaiming the good things God has done for her.
Yes, he is amazing.
And we're so thankful. There's a hymn. We're gonna put words up on the screen, I think, for this hymn, and Margaret's gonna come and help us. Nicole's gonna play. She plays the piano beautifully. And this is a little testimony. This is a little offering to God of thanksgiving for what God has done. But there's a second verse. That's the one that just really grabs you and kind of held you up, kept you strong.
This song means a lot to me. And that's why I really wanted to give you the opportunity to join with me in singing this song. It's a very easy song. But I believe it's going to touch your hearts too.
Okay. Aren't you glad you didn't miss the Sabbath? Just feel encouraged by what God is doing.
This was new to me. It may be to you too, but you'll get it.
Strong and perfect plea, a great high priest. Christ with his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Forward just for, let's just close with it. Come up. Brad, come forward. Nicole, thank you for testifying for God today. Thank you for sharing the love you have for God. See, they're already brothers and sisters. There you go. Don't even know each other. But I want to pray for you guys that God would just continue to use you and glorify himself through you. Father, thank you for the testimonies of your power in each life. Thank you for the miracles that have happened, Lord. Thank you for the courage today that they can stand before you, but really, it's your courage. It's what you've done in their lives. And so we are just here to glorify you and just to praise your name. Lord, continue to bless them, fill them, use them, Lord. May your light shine in their family and the people that are around, their kids, and Lord, whoever they encounter, Lord, use them as a light, like that demoniac that changed his world. Use them to change their world. And may many people come to Jesus. And Lord, I want to pray for us here in the church today. I pray that you'll give us boldness to share how good you've been in our life, that we will go out and tell the good news, how good you've been to us, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. Just move to be in your presence today in Jesus' name.